is entitled Jesus' Yoke, and it's the fourth sermon in a series of six on Matthew 11, verses 25 to 30. But the series has been relatively spread out, so let me recap first. In the first sermon, we looked at our restlessness. In this life, we're looking for peace and for satisfaction, looking for happiness here and our life below, in all sorts of different ways. Sometimes we do it by law-keeping, by escaping through addictions, through our achievements or our children. And we can add many more ways that we try to satisfy ourselves. I'm sure you could think of a couple. But the big problem with this is that we're looking for rest here below. We're looking for it in creation, whether in ourselves or in people or things around us. But these things were never meant to and are not able to give us peace and happiness and ultimate satisfaction. That's why the great church father Augustine said, "Our hearts are restless until they find rest in you." And it's in the middle of this, as we strive and we labour here below, Jesus gives us these wonderful words of invitation. He opens his arms wide and he says, "Come to me. I am the one that can give you the rest that you need." We considered who Jesus is, and because he loves us and he is God, he can and will give us this rest. And last week when Gary led the service, we looked at the invitation and we looked at this coming, because when Jesus invites, what he says is, "I am come to bear your sin, to bear the guilt that weighs down on us from our sin, and he's here to bear the shame of our sin." How often will we hide our sin because we're scared? We're ashamed, but Jesus says, "I take the shame of that sin as well." And Jesus doesn't just take our sin away, he gives us his righteousness, so his good work, his good life, everything that is pure about him, he gives to us. And so we stand before God, not just without sin, but we stand before God accepted as his children. And God looks at us in love and in mercy and compassion, so that now we can live in a way not burdened by our sin, not burdened by all that we have to do. We can stand and live as children of God, children with whom God is pleased. That's the good news. That's the restful news that we have. So with that in mind, we come to Jesus' next words about his yoke that we are to carry. So let's now read the words from our text. So Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30. So you can find that on page 816 of the Blue Visitor Bibles. It says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." So as we consider this text, let's pray that God would open our minds and hearts. Let's pray. Our Father, our great God in heaven, may these words touch and reshape and mould our lives. May we through them find fellowship and joy and rest in our Saviour. For that we need your Holy Spirit. May he ever be present with us here as we gather before you. O Lord, pour him out on us and teach us through him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, previously we've considered our restlessness, who Jesus is, and Jesus' invitation to come to me. But Jesus goes on, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me." So those two truths, "take my yoke" and "learn from me," that is part of the rest that we find in the gospel. There's rest in Christ, and as we live out the gospel, the rest is also there in our lives. So I want to look at two things this afternoon. The first is fairly brief. What is the yoke? And secondly, what is Jesus' yoke? So firstly, what is the yoke? When the Jews heard this word, learn, they thought, law, because you learn the law. And by the way, when they heard the word yoke, they also think law. We do that too with certain phrases. You hear a word and you straight away associate other things with it. So we might hear New Zealand and you might sort of think Kiwis, the All Blacks and so on. And in the same way, when they heard the word yoke, they thought about law. But for the Jews, the law wasn't an easy burden. Maybe we have the same. The law is not something that naturally draws us in. You kind of need to be pushed into it, don't you? The Pharisees were especially involved in this. They said, we'll help you keep the law. And to help you keep the law, they listed rule after rule after rule of things you should do so that you could keep the law. So for example, for Sabbath day observance, many of us know about this, you could only walk a certain number of kilometers on a Sabbath day and you're still within the law, but if you walk any further than that, well then you've started working and you've broken the law. There were rules for sacrifices, animals brought every day. Every day there was another animal sacrificed at the temple. Every year, a few times a year, a household had to bring lambs and produce to the temple. And at the temple, blood flowed continuously all the time. It was the law that never ceased. It was continuously demanding of them. It was something they could never fully keep. But of course, in many ways, that was the whole point. They couldn't keep it because God was pushing them to look beyond the law. All those Old Testament laws, they were pointing ahead to something. Actually, the whole Old Testament is pointing ahead. Each event, ceremony, and character is always pointing ahead. There's always longing. There's longing for something better, something greater. And that is Jesus himself, because he says, I am the fulfillment of the law. You can never truly be cleansed. You can never truly keep the Sabbath, but he can. So you see, this law had become this heavy piece of wood that was carried around on people's shoulders. That's what a yoke was, right? This heavy piece of wood that was placed between two oxen. Together, the two oxen would pull a cart or plow or something like that. It was heavy, and this law for the people of Israel had become like a heavy piece of wood they were trying to balance and trying to carry. And Jesus says in the middle of this, I'm the fulfillment of the law. The whole law is pointing to me. You're trying to carry that load, you're trying to carry that yoke, but I'm the one. I'm the one that carried it. I'm the one that has fulfilled it. It's done, you see. You don't need to carry that burden anymore. Now, at times, we see the law like the Jews did as well, don't we? All these things we have to do. We fall, so we try harder. We add these yokes by adding other burdens we place on ourselves. Jesus says, don't take these yokes. Don't take the yoke of the law. Don't take your yoke of human ambition, because it's too heavy for you to carry. Don't take your yoke of worrying about your wealth or increasing your investments. This desire for human acclaim, it's too heavy for you. You can't carry it on your own. This yoke, this desperation for human love, you can never carry that by yourself. You can't do it. You can't carry it. Instead, take my yoke. So the question is, what is my yoke? What is Jesus' yoke? And that's what we'll look at secondly and mainly here this afternoon. What is Jesus' yoke? This is going to be confusing because I'll say this from the start. The answer is, Jesus' yoke are his commandments. And you'll say, well, hang on a minute, I thought we'd just put that to the side. I thought we just said he had fulfilled them. When Jesus says, you take my yoke, he's not talking about the yoke of law keeping, but if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Do you understand the difference? He didn't say, if you keep my commandments, I'll love you. That's the yoke of the law. The yoke of the law is, if I do this, if I keep his commandments, then God will be happy with me. At least that was the Jewish interpretation of it. But Jesus' yoke, Jesus' commandments, has a completely different character. It's that if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Let me try and illustrate it in this way. In the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve were told to eat of all the trees of the garden except for the one tree. And it was wonderful, beautiful. Their maker and father loved them, and they loved him. Until the serpent came along and put doubt into Eve's heart regarding the love of God for her. God knows that when you eat of that tree, you'll know good and evil. In other words, he's holding back on you, Eve. He's not giving you everything. And now Eve looks at the tree in a different light. Suddenly she sees how good the fruit is and what she's missing out on. She's forgotten the other trees, the incredible riches God has given to her. All she sees is what God has not given to her. And suddenly you see the character of God is at stake, because suddenly God becomes a restrictive God. Children do this sometimes. Maybe kids, you can relate to this. Mum and dad tell you to tidy up, and you say, oh, why on earth do I have to do all the jobs around here? I mean, all those other guys are doing nothing. Aren't mum and dad harsh? They're always making me do everything. And suddenly something that was merely an asking to do a task becomes, mum and dad don't love me, they don't care for me, they're restrictive and harsh. So suddenly it becomes an attack on them and their character. And by the way, it's not just kids that do that, is it? We all have that problem. You see, we forget what God has given to us. We forget the wealth of what God has given, all these wonderful and beautiful things to enjoy. And suddenly God's rule and God's commands are right up here in our face, and that's all we can see. And we think God is restrictive and harsh. You see, the character of God is tied to his commandments. The character of our Savior is tied to his commandments. So his commandments are good because he is good. You know, the greatest study in the world is to study the Lord Jesus, our Savior. To know him, to know his suffering. If I could just focus on his suffering for a few moments. Imagine a body bruised by blows, a back ripped open by the whip, blood dripping down his face because the crown of thorns has been pressed and beaten into his scalp. His body quivering with fever. His hands are agonizingly stretched out and nailed there. He's exhausted and there's intense pain ravaging his body. And then not only is he abandoned by the people, he is the abandonment and the darkness of the father who turns his face away. It's much, much worse than the physical pain that he was experiencing. Christ did all that for us. He took our sin, the sin of mankind, out of love for us and his father. Surely when we remember this, how can we say that his law is restrictive and burdensome? You see what we've done? We've lost sight of the character of God. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. They're not harsh if you love me. They're not a heavy yoke if you understand who I am, when you understand and know what I've done for you. Do you know the incredible nature of my love for you? Do you really think my law is a harsh and heavy yoke? What's the summary of God's law? It's love. Love for God and love for our neighbours. Why? Because he has so loved us. Surely that's a light yoke. And when we see this, you see, his love and his mercy and his long-suffering, his arms extended open in mercy, that becomes a driving motivation for our lives. It becomes natural. Who wouldn't want to follow the commands of someone who loves you, suffered and died for you, who knows you completely? Yes, living out his commands are a yoke, but they are a beautiful yoke that fits us and a yoke that is good for us. And it means we can take off all the other yokes that make us restless. Imagine a carpenter's shop in first century Palestine, and there's yokes outside the shop and a sign that reads, "My yokes always fit." Wouldn't that be beautiful? My yokes always fit. Jesus' yoke fits because they are good yokes. His yoke is good for us. And that's why there's rest under his yoke. And it's whenever we take our eyes off him, we forget who Jesus is and what he has done. It's then that we place on ourselves the yoke of the burden of the law. It's when we take our eyes off him that we start to wear the yoke of the law that says, I have to do this and have to do that, and it becomes a burden. But when we look to him all the time, and when he is, as it were, right up in our face, it's then that we walk with him and in step with him, and our yoke is easy and our burdens light. It means we're not on our own, but he walks with us. He gives us the strength because in reality, he's the one pulling the load. I can do all things, the scripture says, through him who strengthens me. Well, what does this mean for our lives? Well, children, it means when you're asked to tidy up or do some other job, you start to think about what Jesus has done. Not only all the things he's done in giving us parents who look after us and care for us, love us and parents who give us a good bed to sleep in. Not only has Jesus done that, think about all the sins that we've done and the forgiveness he gives us when we look to him in Christ, when we look to him in forgiveness. When we're tempted to sin, all of us, let us see this wonderful Saviour who willingly suffered for our sins. What a loving Saviour, what a loving, compassionate, caring Father we have. When anger is building up in our hearts and we're focused on all the things we're angry about and we know it's wrong, we look at what he endured. Look what he gave. Look at how lovingly he cares for us. You see, when we start to see more of the Saviour, the one who teaches us, the one that is true wisdom, then we can start to say with the psalmist, "Oh, how I love your law, O God. It is my meditation day and night." Because within ourselves, that's difficult to say, isn't it? How I love your law. Really? But when we start to see what he's done and the rest that he promises, that yoke is not heavy. It is a beautiful yoke. Imagine if during our most intense petitions to him and our most intense prayers to him, what is foremost in our minds is not my will, not my word, not what I think is right, but your will be done, because I know that your will is good and I know your yoke is good. Would that then not be a light burden to bear? In our society, in our great culture that we live in, we say that we're one of the most advanced societies on earth that the world has ever known. Maybe that's true, but counselling is on the increase. Mental pressures seem to be getting greater and greater. Psychotic drug prescriptions increase year after year. These pressures leave burdens on us. But they're only on us when we're not yoked to Christ, because we haven't taken his yoke. We've replaced his yoke with other yokes and they've burdened us down. And the only way to overcome this restlessness is to see that his yoke is light. The only way to find true rest is to find it, not around us, but it's to find it in the Lord Jesus. No one else gives rest like that. His yoke is easy, his burden is light. Jesus is the rest we need. Think about, where are your eyes? Where are my eyes? Where are our desires? Are they with him, or are they here below? Let's pray. Our Father, gracious God, Lord Jesus, our loving Saviour, Holy Spirit, a triune God, we admit that we are often weighed down. We're running headlong into all the things we're so busy with, we find so little time to remember you and to rest. Would you graciously grant our loving Saviour to be at the forefront of our lives, at the forefront of the eyes of our hearts, that we would not be burdened, but that we would find our great rest, true rest, in the one who so dearly loved us. Lord, if there are any here this afternoon who are restless, who have not found peace, would you grant them the ultimate peace that we can find in the Lord Jesus? And dear Father, for those that are in you, that have lost sight of you, would you restore to them again? Restore to them the joy of your salvation. May all of us go from here lightened, because we carry the yoke of Christ and he walks with us. In the name of our Saviour Jesus we pray. Amen. Let's now stand and sing the number 19, verses 4 to 8. After the benediction, we'll sing the first verse of number 148, Hallelujah, Praise Jehovah, as our doxology. The benediction comes from the book of Jude. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God, our Saviour, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen.